There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-host. We've got the one and only Fluffiest Whimsicott back again this week.
Yes, hello.
And we've got Jushiro.
Happy Halloween, everyone, for those who celebrate.
Oh yeah, I did forget it's Halloween this week.
Yeah.
I absolutely did. But before we talk about Halloween, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, any for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I guess in between today is Halloween. I don't know. I guess when this comes out, it's the day before Halloween. And yep. Yeah, man, I almost forgot because, like, I have to fly out on Halloween. My brain also did that thing again where it's just like, ah, yes, this Tuesday I have to fly out, and I forgot it was Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've got two calendars that run side by side that don't interact.
Oh, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Yeah, in my brain, like, there's the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday calendar, mm-hmm. and then there's the dates.
Right.
That's a completely different calendar.
Yes.
Well, I know we need to give you some cement shoes because you've been flying all around.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude!
You gotta hold that iron ball.
After this one, I am done. At least until I do have to like go. I'm actually gonna your neck of the woods for the holidays, Jushiro. But
oh, then we definitely have to plan something.
Maybe it depends. A lot of it I'm gonna spend with my in-laws because we actually haven't spent the holidays with my in-laws for like a decade.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And so I'm doing this specifically for my wife because she really wants to spend the holidays with her parents.
I bet, yeah.
And so we probably won't even be on like the mainland. We'll probably just be out somewhere else. So I think that's like the only other trip I have planned this year, though. That's like the only other trip.
Okay, good, good, good.
And only the 2 months left.
Yeah, yes. 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 I have purposely like I was scheduled to go to Portland, not this week but next week.
Oh, wow.
I told them I'm like I'm not going, and so I'm sending my research scientist instead. I said, "Hey, do you just want to go to Portland instead of me?"
Good.
And he was just like, "You mean I get to go to Portland for funsies?" And I'm like, "Yes." I physically cannot get on another airplane or I will just cry.
Oh, like, man. Yeah.
I'm just so tired of flying. That was like probably the only part of the vacation I was just not looking forward to, is like just not being home when I was in Japan. I was just like, "Yeah, I just want to be home."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be home. But I am doing Halloween stuff tonight, actually. We have like a downtown party we have here in good old D-Town.
Oh.
So I'm gonna go down to that. Me and my buddy are gonna dress up.
What are you gonna dress as?
That from the cult classic, The Big Lebowski. I will be Walter, and my buddy's gonna be the dude. We're gonna walk around with a Folgers coffee can.
That's hilarious.
That way we can have our Donnie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What's even worse is like we're on a bowling team together. So, so it's we're in like a three-person league and we have a bowling team.
That's hilarious.
It's actually a good time. So yeah, we're going to do that this weekend. But what have you guys been up to? Anything fun? I mean, I saw Whimsicott last week, but maybe something cool happened.
Yeah. Well, I started a new playthrough of Pokemon Shield.
Interesting choice.
And, nice. Yes. It's just a friend said, we should replay Generation 8 together. And I was like, you know what? I never completed S.H.I.E.L.D. I should play that. Yeah, not that I have an excuse to get through the entirety of it. And I'm not going to lie. I did not remember it being so cool. I'm actually really liking it.
I think part of like the reason those games fell flat was just that, one, the expectations were very high.
They always are.
Which they were. I think that was the first year most people started, after that year, I should say, is when most people started tempering their expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Which I don't disagree with, and I actively encourage.
Right.
But yeah, Pokemon's usually not going to give us like the best and greatest. But I did expect more out of Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
If I treat it like a 3DS game, I'm not mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I enjoyed it a ton the first time around, but part of my enjoyment was that I was playing it alongside other people in Puckle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, in a giant Discord call, it was a ton of fun. But looking back at it, I got to the end of the story and I was like, I think I wanted a little bit more. But
right.
Now that I don't have expectations, I'm just, it's so colorful and the Pokemon are so fun. Like, I saw Nickit and I'm like, I forgot this little guy was here. Yeah. His little tail thingy. It's a neat gimmick. I like him.
I do actually have to say that Sword and Shield's Pokemon designs are banger. Like, those are banger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can dislike Gen 8 for a lot of reasons, which I'm sure I can talk about later today, but I can dislike Gen 8 for a lot of reasons, but I will not ever say Pokemon design is one of them. I think the Pokemon designs are very well done, very well thought out.
Right.
I think there's some execution issues, and I think that has to do with, like, internal management more so than game developers.
Yes. Mm. I'm sure that the problem is that they spent most of the time with the design of each individual Pokemon and character and everything, and they just leave the world as a second thought. And they really need to get like a team B, a B team, or hire a different company to like really polish that world building that they're lacking in a couple of generations.
I don't even know if I would call it that, but it was definitely intended as something different, I think.
Mm.
Right.
Because I'm not sure at the speed that game development works, but I kind of get like, now that Detective Pikachu 2's out, I kind of get Detective Pikachu 2 vibes from it, in that it was never intended to like be the full Switch game that it was.
Mm.
Gotcha. It was, yeah.
I really feel that it at least started as a 3DS title. Maybe they were just like, we don't know what we're going to put it on. Maybe we'll put it on 3DS.
Right.
And that's where they kind of were with it. And when it started. And a lot of those design decisions kind of, I can see them, but that's only because Omori, in the two games that he directed in Alola and Scarlet and Violet, made this decision where he really likes to compartmentalize parts of the story.
Yeah.
Like, he had Alola, he had his four islands, and like the four islands aren't very contiguous, which are because they're islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when we were going to, you know, the England equivalent in Pokemon,
Galar.
Yeah. I knew the title. I was thinking something more like Unova, you know, with New York and how continuous it was, the region.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's not really what Galar was designed to be. Because there's a lot of areas that are only connected by the wild area. Mm-hmm. And even then, there's that train that's meant to take you from place to place, but you never use it because the wild area is there. So it's a very, it definitely was designed without the wild area in mind originally.
Mm.
In my experience, which is why the DLC was better, because they were kind of figuring out what they wanted to do. And I do think it was a step to the game design that we got eventually in Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just like a growing pain. It was just like, it's just, you can feel and see the growing pains in that game.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that, you know, Game Freak can bring its A game for whatever comes next.
Yeah, I'm concerned with the speed at which they're going to do things still. I am concerned with this.
Well, yeah, they need to tone it down a bit. They need to up the amount of DLCs and lower the amount of new game releases.
I agree with you. Like, I'm kind of hoping, because we're very close to the 30th anniversary Like, we're going to be, you know, 2 years away next year from the 30th anniversary of Pokemon. And I'm kind of hoping that when we hit 30th, that's when they decide to do Gen 10. Like, maybe slow it down and do Gen 10 on the 30th anniversary. Right. I would love to see that. I'd love to see that. Right. And I would feel really good if we got, like, one of those, like, everybody's here moments. They did try to do that with the Indigo Disc DLC, but only with the starters. Yeah. And I don't think that should be an exception. I think that should be a rule for the starters. Just heads up, Game Freak. Like, I think starters are like the one Pokemon that should be in every game.
Right.
In my opinion, just because like those are the Pokemon that are typically the most special to everybody else. And we actually have some emails that I can highlight that point on today. But yeah, it's very interesting to think about. But hey, Jushir, anything interesting going on with you? Before I move us on?
Not with Pokemon-wise, honestly. A lot of Pokemon adjacent, I guess. I started playing Persona 5 Royale again. Because I never really finished it. And I'm like, I'm really wanting like a monster catching something for a time while. Because like, it's one of my favorite genre, if you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm restarting Persona 5. But other than that, I haven't really dug much into Pokemon lately after I finished the DLC.
Man, I'm actually pretty amped to get back to playing Pokemon and streaming. I was going to do it this week, but we had a lot of hiccups in life.
Mm.
Don't we always?
But I can start to get back to it, not this week, but the week after, which is very exciting to me. I really want to start streaming again because, one, I just bought a... this is like really nerdy thatch going on with video game modding, but I bought a mod for an original DS. So that I can stream through the DS. And the only reason I'm doing this, and this is like such a specific reason to have like such a specific tool, is that I really want to play Gen 4.
I was kind of, I thought you were going to say Conquest, but go on.
Well, I have a 3DS capture card already, right? So I can play DS games on stream.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I bought an original DS.
You wanna do the thing with the with the Gen 3 cartridges?
Yes, I want to be able to do the thing with the Gen 3 cartridges. Do a Nuzlocke with the Gen 3, because if you put a Gen 3 cartridge in the Game Boy slot on a DS while you're playing Gen 4 games, it changes the wild Pokemon in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, forgot about that.
Yeah, and so I really want to do that. I think that would be a lot of fun. I also really want to get back to, like finishing my Gen 1 living decks. I'm actually pretty close, I think, on Fire Red to like going through completion on that, or not Fire Red, Original Red.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through and we're going to complete that and then do the Pokemon Stadium stuff. Like, I really want to play Pokemon Stadium. I don't think you understand how much I want to like 100% Pokemon Stadium. I'm looking forward to that the most. The problem is like most of the guides I've looked at pretty much tell you to like, hey, go catch this level 15 Haunter in gold version and then bring it back. And so I'm just, part of me is just like, okay, maybe we just like do a combined living Gen 1 and Gen 2 decks. And then we just like 100% Pokemon Stadium 1, and then we 100% Pokemon Stadium 2.
Mm-mm.
And we just have a blast doing it. So I think that might be the course of action that takes place.
Yeah, that nice. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I think that might be what happens. I also just want to play Gen 2. Like, I'm in a real good Gen 2 mood lately. I blame Kitakami.
I hope and wish for the day that all the Pokemon are going to be in the Virtual Console, which I know will probably never happen, but I wish that would be a thing. Because if they would, I would go through every single generation, play every single Pokemon game from Gen 1 all the way to Gen 9. With no hesitation, because that's my dream right now.
I don't think we're going to get every Pokemon game, because I do think there's a chance that you will get your Pokemon games from Gen 1, Gen 2, and Gen 3 on the Virtual Console. I think the problem with expecting Pokemon games from like the DS is just like the DS to Switch format is kind of poopy.
Yeah, no, I know.
They tried it on Wii U, and it's like only okay.
Right.
So My full recommendation would be, honestly, we just get more BDSPs for everything else. Like, I think BDSP is fine in the context of we're never going to get this on Virtual Console.
Right.
I think that's a very reasonable answer. And I think we're probably going to be more on the timeline, like whenever Pokemon Bank actually shuts down. we will probably get, you know, the Gen 1, Gen 2 games.
Right.
On virtual console, because they'll just hook them up to Pokemon Home. Because I think Pokemon Home is what the original imagination for Pokemon Bank was.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly why I want those virtual consoles. Anyway, yeah.
But yes, I don't want to talk about just random Pokemon stuff all day, though I'm sure somebody's screaming at the radio like, man, Thatch, if you could just keep talking about random Pokemon stuff, it'd be great. But we do have some news to talk about, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to our news. In the news, we've got a few things to go over. Not a lot, actually. I think this is like very much the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My expectation is we're going to get some kind of Indigo Disc trailer here in the next week or two. But yeah, mm-hmm. So far, Detective Pikachu found a marketing budget and released an animated short and a web manga this past week.
It's the sort of game I might have bought with a 3DS price tag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do agree with that. I heard it was only like 8 hours or so, like maybe 12.
Yeah, that's what I heard. 20 hours, I would say, yeah, that's worth it.
Yeah.
But 8 hours? Yeah. Like, yeah.
It was pretty
made of money.
It was pretty, yeah. It was, for $50, I don't think I would do it. I mean, it'll certainly go on sale.
Oh, yeah. If I find it used at a certain point in the future, yeah, I'll probably pick it up because I'm curious. Like,
that's kind of how I felt about the original Octopath Traveler.
Mm.
I think I ended up buying. I was like, I don't really want to pay $60 for it because it seems too new,
right,
to do. And so I ended up going. I'm also really bad with RPG. Like, I think I would really enjoy RPGs out of Pokemon, like turn based ones. Yes. I think I really would. I'm so ingrained in the Pokemon system, which I think is almost like baby's first turn-based RPG. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm so ingrained in that system that I try to draw parallels, and it never works perfectly.
Nope.
So then I just get frustrated with the system, and then I stop. I mean, honestly, like I need like those tutorial battles like we get in Pokemon for some of these RPGs. And the one that I could get into though recently was Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh yeah.
Mostly because I'm also very familiar with the D&D system.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
So I could be like, oh, I know what this does. I know what this does. And a lot of the liberties, that they take with your actions that you can do on your turn. My players were messing up after that game came out for like 2 weeks. And I was just like, this is very frustrating that they think they can do this and this. like, that's not how this works.
That's like me trying to move the camera around as I'm going through the routes in Shield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. But yeah. It's been a time. Right. Well, we have some Scarlet and Violet stuff. I'm going to let say this one.
So we didn't mention it actually because it was announced after last week's episode. But you can still participate because it's a Halloween event. There are Miss Magius raids that give a lot of EXP candy, and there's a Mass Outbreak event, you know, that new thing that they've been doing that they did with the Clefairy the last time around.
Mm-hmm.
This one has Mimikyu, Grievar, Drifloon, and Phantomp, and they have an increased chance of having a crafty mark when you catch them, which is, like, it's not as increased as you would think, but
no,
it's
not. Yeah. Yeah, I wish they were a little bit better, but marks are also very confusing to me in general.
It's like, it's cool, but it's so niche that it always just feels like, why should I care?
Yeah, right?
It's really hidden there in the descriptions, too.
Well, it's like when the Pokemon comes out, they'll get a description based on the mark they have.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it, but it's just, it's too rare to make me feel like it's relevant.
I absolutely agree. All right. Well, Jishiro is going to talk to us about some Pokemon Go news.
Okay, because it's going to be November 1st, and it's going to bring the Dia de los Muertos, event, adding a flower crown Cubone to the game. And for people who are looking to finish their Kanto decks, which at this point, who hasn't? Mega Kangaskhan returns at the end of the month. Both Mega Garchomp and Mega Gallade release in November. And then a friendly reminder.
I am actually curious on how many people join Pokemon here. Like, what's the new player look like, right? Because
I have no idea.
I always worry about, like, new players in Pokemon Go because I'm just like, I haven't seen a Pidgey in I don't know how long.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how are they going to do their Kanto decks?
Right. Yeah. And then a reminder that November 5th is both Wooper Community Day. And I don't know why it says both.
Because it's Paldean both Paldean Wooper
and Jotian.
Jotonian.
Oh, both versions of Wooper. Gotcha.
Yeah, I was perplexed last week when I read a bit of news, too. Then I figured out.
This Friday, November 3rd, a new TCG set drops as well. Paradox Rift. Mm. This is actually like a really big set for the TCG. A lot of new cards come out. There's a couple that are people. Well, I shouldn't say people. I think there's one guy on Twitter who's like scared that one of the cards is just going to break the game and make nobody want to play it, which I think might be overhyped a little bit. I think it's okay. Right. Iron Hands EX, and for an electric energy and three colorless energy, the attack is called Amp You Very Much. It does 120 damage, and it says if you knock out a Pokemon with this attack, you take an extra prize card.
Oof.
That is big. I don't think it's as bad as like ADP, Arceus Dialga Palkia tag team from a few years ago. Where it had an ability where you could just start taking an extra prize card on everything.
Right.
Which was ridiculous and disgusting.
Yep. Broke the game.
It definitely broke the game. I don't think this will break the game, mostly because you have to get a knockout with 120 attack. That is also very expensive, mind you. An electric and three colorless. Like, if you do that, there's like two decks that could probably handle it right now. One being Maridon, but that you require hitting a lot of, you're not probably doing it turn one because you have to hit electric generators. And then, Qian Pao has been playing it. I've heard. But the thing is, then you need to run electric or luminous energies in your deck as well. Because Qian Pao typically runs the Excalibur that just lets you attach as many water energies per turn as you want. People have been using the water for the colorless then, and then you just like play an electric or two. And you go get the electric. I don't know. Like I've been playing Qian Pao myself, and I think it's kind of clunky. So I don't know if you like were to throw more into it, it would be clunkier.
It's potentially a really good card, but it might not flow very well in a deck.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. Like I talk to a couple people about deck building every once in a while. Some of them you know on the show, but every once in a while they'll get like really hyped for a new card, and I'm like, but guys, like. I understand that like you're talking about combos that can happen, but you have to remember like the deck can only have 60 cards.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and so certainly if you had a 70 card deck, I think this would work because you need an additional 10 cards for a combo to work in a deck that already exists. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple other cool cards coming out as well because all the Paradox Mons are coming out. So there's a lot of cool new decks that are going to be probably viable out of this set. Additionally, they have just a lot of cool support. I don't know. I'm very excited because Obsidian Flames was kind of a nothing burger of a set in terms of competitive. Like, it didn't really change them out of that much. Like, maybe we got the Charizard deck out of it. Charizard's like this floating target of is it good or not, and nobody really knows. because like it'll do well at a tournament one weekend, and then the next weekend it'll just like not show up at all.
Okay,
and nobody knows why because the decks didn't like. Counter them. It didn't counter Charizard. It just didn't do well that day. And it's just very. I think it's honestly just like a numbers thing because there's no deck right now that's very. There's no deck that's centralizing the meta.
Okay.
So everybody like no deck typically has more than like 14% share at a tournament, and okay, all of these decks are just evenly matched. Yeah, all these decks are just evenly matched.
That's good. That's a healthy meta.
No, it's a very healthy meta. It's just kind of boring because it's been this way for like 6 months. And so I'm ready for things to shake up. I also really want, like, I'm excited for Iron Hands. Like, I'm rooting for Iron Hands to be a little bit better than not. Just because a lot of the decks that take forever to play against, our single prize decks and Iron Hands would just shut that down.
Okay.
And make them unplayable, which I kind of hope is the case. A little part of me hopes. But yeah. All right. Well, that is it for that part of the news. But we do have Puckle's pokey opinion, which is very short this week. And it is best Gen 1 shiny question mark.
Right.
Ponyta.
Ponyta's actually, Ponyta is,
I was
going
to say Charizard, but now that you bring up Ponyta, yeah.
Man, I have to look real quick, actually, because, like, I think they're, I do agree with both of those being very solid. I just want to look for myself to make sure I'm not forgetting something. Nidoking's pretty okay. Nidoking, I think, is okay. Tentacruel.
Ninetales is also really good.
Ninetales is good, too. I do agree with Ninetales. Like, there are a lot of, like, not good ones, I will admit.
Yeah.
Well, there. It's, like, the old way of making shinies.
So. Voltorb and Electrode, though.
Oh, okay, good.
Those are
yes.
solid. Those are solid. I think Tangela is also pretty good when it just becomes, like, straight green.
Mm-hmm. Same for Oddish, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I do think there's a lot of swinging and misses. And you also have Gyarados, which is just... Gyarados and Magikarp, which I think are two of the designed ones.
Quite iconic, yes.
Yeah. And then we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Tauros, you know?
Yeah. I think we are contractually obligated to mention.
We are contractually obligated to mention Tauros. But yeah, I do. Eevee also came out pretty good. Eevee itself.
Yeah.
I won't say Vaporeon, Jolteon, or Flareon, but I will say Eevee.
Shiny Jolteon has still remained one of my biggest disappointments in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Shiny Leafeon, who was at least, like, vaguely nicer.
Yeah.
And then it just looks the same now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Oh, yeah. Well, that's it for the news, guys. We're going to kick it on over to our Poke Quiz segment, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to our Poke Quiz. Our Poke Quiz has the rules that you just heard, and we're going to jump right on into it. Our first question this week is going to come to you from Smeargle19. Actually, I don't think I'm going to read that one because I don't understand the wording. We're going to go with this other one from Elite Four Brandt. As of Generation 9, what are the 2 oldest Pokemon lines that still have a unique type combination?
Ooh.
Honestly, I'll just take one answer if you get one of these, but...
As of Generation 9, what is the...
That still have a unique type combination.
Yes.
Okay, so, does anything else have the Magneton line type?
The Magneton? Electric Steel?
Yeah, does anything else have that?
Electric Steel. I feel like yes, but I can't remember. Maybe one of the beasts, the...
No.
No?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should give you this for free. Toga Namaru?
Mm? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's mostly because I was doing the thing where I'm screaming at the radio right there.
Yes.
And you actually have the chance
and
to scream
Toga
Namaru, at the radio.
And it would have taken us a while to get
like
there.
The plush is like sitting right behind me, you know? I'm like...
Right.
Okay.
It's staring at me into my soul.
So not Magnet.
Have we gotten... I feel like we have... okay.
So what about those normal
These are old.
Old?
Yeah, exactly. We're talking probably Gen 1, maybe 2.
Fighting Water, we have a bunch of those.
Yes.
Bug something. Dragon something.
So it's not Dragon something because it's only the... Like... Wait, the oldest Pokemon, because we're like, I've been going about this, like, let's think of things that are still unique.
Right.
But we should be like going through the Pokedex starting from Bulbasaur. You know? I think that's the way to do it. So, I'm literally going through the Pokedex in my head.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything. I mean, I'm thinking the only things that I can think of is number one, is something normal with normal, because those I don't think are that common.
But they are not old.
Right.
Like, they are not old.
Right.
You should definitely go through the Pokedex. I feel like you will find at least one of them very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
Flying poison.
I also don't know how good your Gen 1 Pokedex number ordering is. Mine has been very good lately, because I've been trying to make a point of knowing, like, the first two gens in order.
Ground poison from Nidoking?
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty early on.
I can't remember of any ground poison.
Yeah, no, they're not unique anymore. Okay. There's Cloudsire.
Oh.
Yep. Gosh.
Just go like a little bit farther. Just a little bit farther in the Pokedex order.
Just a tiny bit farther.
Just a tiny bit farther.
I'm drawing a blank.
So somewhere around the 40s and 50s.
Around the 40s, you will definitely find one.
What about normal fairy? That is Wigglytuff. Do we have other normal fairies?
Yes, we do. It is Azrael.
Just a little bit farther. You're getting very close. You're getting very close.
Oh, darn it.
I think Wigglytuff is 40.
Yeah, right around there. Oh gosh, what's that bit after those?
Gen 1 you can usually get through by just going through the routes for the most part.
I'm trying to do that, but I'm getting stuck on Mount Moon.
Yeah, yes, Mount Moon. Yep. Mm-hmm. Think about what's in Mount Moon.
Clefairy.
Well,
what's it known for? What's Mount Moon known for being annoying for?
Zubat.
Oh, Zubat. Yep. There is still another flying poison. Yep.
There's no more flying poisons?
Nope. They never made another one.
After Crobat.
I think I've seen Zubat so many times that I just assumed that there were so many flying poisons everywhere.
I think I will give you this as the point. One, in the interest of time, but also two, because you figured that one out. The other one is going to surprise you as well. But okay. The answer
is still from Gen 1.
It is still from Gen 1. Oh, wow. And it is the Gengar line.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
There's never been another ghost poison after that.
Oh, holy snap. You're right. Holy snaps.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll give you the point for that one.
We should have known that they would be poison types. It's Gen 1. Half of everything was poison.
A lot of things were poison. Yes. All right. Well, your next question is going to come to you from definitely not Liger. And maybe you know this one. We'll see if you do. What is the most expensive Pokemon TCG card, or the one that sold for the most? This was recently-ish. Yeah.
Oh, recently? Oof.
Wasn't it that promo card with Pikachu in the beach or something?
It could be. That's a very rare card.
It was like a celebration for some tournament.
It was like Beach Party for Worlds. Yeah. The one that
You're thinking of Tropical Beach. That's not entirely correct. This is I believe it's a Japanese only card, but it was definitely for a competition that's very short. Very short printed, I mean.
The only other thing that I've heard about being very expensive was some kind of, I think, maybe a golden Pikachu something, but I'm honestly surprised that I even knew about the Tropical Beach.
Tropical Beach is that's actually really impressive. I am impressed by Tropical Beach.
I heard about that once.
Actually, Tropical Beach was always expensive. And then there was the one that was just after that, Champions Festival.
which was that one started getting expensive, and then Pokemon kind of responded to that this year with the new one, which was like Paradise Resort or something like that, and it because they made Paradise Resort absolutely useless compared to the others. And honestly, I thought Champions Festival would be kind of useless too, because it requires you to have six Pokemon in play and it just heals 10 damage from all of your Pokemon or something like that. And there was never a deck that could take advantage of it until Gardevoir EX, where you're just putting damage counters on all of your Pokemon. So then that skyrocketed the price and made it hard to get a hold of. So now you can get Paradise Resort, which will heal 10 damage from any Psyduck in play.
Wow.
Or something like that. It's something. Like, it's some ridiculous effect that doesn't matter. It does specifically deal with Psyduck, though.
Wow. Now that you said it's not Tropical Bitch, I know that I do not know.
Okay. You guys can tap out, and I can just let you know. Or
depends.
You can,
maybe Jashiro knows it.
No, yeah, I'm drawing a blank. The only thing card that's coming up was that Ancient Mew card.
No, it's not that. I'm gonna let you know. The answer is the Pikachu Illustrator card from a competition way back in the day. There were only 41 of them printed, I think. And it recently sold a PSA 10 that they had graded was sold for $5 million, just over $5 million.
Whoa!
Yeah. There's some serious money in Pokemon. You remember, as a kid, I always remembered my parents being like, these aren't going to be worth anything one day.
And
they're like actually worth like a ridiculous amount. It's very like not all of them. I should say not all of them, because my number one pet peeve is like, I've been watching these guys who go around and like buy video games from garage sales and stuff like that. And then people have Pokemon cards and they overvalue all of them. It's very frustrating, but. All right. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. As always, we're going to go ahead and give you this one from the Once and Future Gamer. It's Pokemon Crystal entry reads, during the study of this Pokemon, it was discovered that its components are not found in nature. Who's that Pokemon?
Its components are not in nature.
Are not found in nature.
Magnemite?
I feel like
Porygon. It seems like it's an artificial Pokemon.
Yeah, I think it might be another steel type, not Magnemite, because those usually talk about its magnetism.
Right.
So what other steel types were in Gen 2? Like
there were only four others. I could tell you that much.
Exactly. There's like Skarmory and. Scissor and Steelix, and
the one you're gonna forget is gonna be Fortress.
Yes. Okay.
Everybody forgets Fortress,
which is fair.
I think Fortress is a cool Pokemon. Don't slander him.
I personally don't like him.
So he's made.
I don't know.
Oh wait, what about poison in the sense of a contamination Pokemon? Like a maybe a Grimer or a Muk.
Can you repeat the Pokedex entry, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
During the study of this Pokemon, it was discovered that its components are not found in nature.
Is it unknown? I don't know. I want to say that it's something weird like that. Components, like you, it makes you think of something that is either a mineral of some kind.
Right.
Or made of multiple parts.
Right. Artificial comes to mind when they say not found in nature. So that's why I bring up Muk and Porygon and Magnemite, because so those are all like man-made Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Okay, just pick one, and worst case scenario, we go to the next book.
It's just, oh man, I would say... not found in nature. Porygon 2?
Unfortunately incorrect. This next entry is from Fire Red, but it's really just red. And it reads, a life form whose identity is unknown. It is said to screech or suddenly self-destruct.
See? Oh, it's Voltorb.
Voltorb.
Mm-mm.
Yep. Voltorb's correct.
There we go.
You guys are 2 for 3 here now. So your next question is going to be worth up to 3 points. It has multiple answers, and Man, okay, I'm going to ask you these questions. I think this answer, this is from Wyatt Fright, and he wants to know, what 8 Pokemon lines are playable in both Pokemon Unite and Super Smash Brothers Ultimate? And I think, honestly, it is just the question of what Pokemon are in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. But based on the answers, there are 8 answers. I will only need 6 of them. For every 2, I will give you a point. You have 3 strikes, and then you're out. So you do have to lock in all your answers. Jigglypuff is correct. That is one of them. Mewtwo is another. That is 2. That's 1 point.
You're going to have to keep going, you sure, because I've played neither of these games.
Charizard.
Charizard is also correct. That is 3.
Greninja.
Greninja is 4.
Lucario.
Lucario is 5.
You're
missing one very easy one.
Pikachu,
yeah. That is 6. Do you know the other 2? If not, I'll give them to you.
I think so. Give me a second, and I'm thinking. I'm drawing a blank now, even though I should know these.
I'm going to give it to you here, Jushiro.
Okay.
And just let you know, it's Blastoise and Venusaur, because Pokemon
Blastoise
Trainer.
Blastoise and Venusaur, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. All right, but you got those, so that's three points. So you guys are up to 5 for 4. This is your last question. It's your base stat question, as always. And I would like to know, or Liger would, I believe he put these in. Since it's Halloween this week, what Ghost-type Pokemon has the highest base attack of all Ghost-type Pokemon? And you do have the hint.
Yes, I remember Mega Banette being kind of wild, but not that wild. So should we just take the hint right away, Jushiro?
I think so, because Banette was going to be my guess as well.
Yeah.
This is a monotype Pokemon who also has a Mega.
Well,
okay, that sounds like Banette.
Then yeah, it sounds like it's Banette.
It sounds like it's Mega Banette. Let's just think if we are forgetting anything, but I don't think there's another mono ghost mega.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Not that I can think of.
No.
Yeah, Mega Banette.
Mega Banette is correct with a base 165. It's not even close. Next up is Delmise with 131.
Oh, wow.
Then Blacephalon with 127.
Oh, wow,
followed up by a tie between Marshadow and Cerulege with 125. So it was not even close. Mega Banette just blew it out of the water.
Right.
So that gives you 6 today. So let me type that in the trivia score.
We didn't do that bad.
No.
Let me go open up the trivia score here. That's definitely going to change things up. So, oops. I typed in... there we go. I typed in a number, or how many points you got today, instead of adding them. And that certainly messes things up. Oh, what the heck just happened? Okay, one sec. My sort did not work. What the heck just happened? Okay.
So, Winsico, what starter did you use in Sword?
Yeah,
in your new shield run.
So, I got Scorbunny, but I actually boxed him right away because my friend and I are playing with teams that we made based on characters from our favorite anime.
Wait, give me an example.
So, my guy likes dogs. And he flies, so he has lots of dogs and birds.
There
he
we
has,
go.
Like,
I fixed
a Growlithe.
But continue.
Okay, we're done.
In first place, we've got Linnean with 36 points, followed up in second by Seth Vilo with 31. In a tie for third, we've got Shark and Whimsicott with 28. In fifth, we've got Jushiro with 23rd. Or 23. In sixth, we've got our Sigma with 22. In seventh, we've got Dr. Shamu and Mark tied with 20. Sublime Manic is in ninth with 14, and Cloud9's bringing up the rear with 12. Tune in next week for another exciting episode. It's still anybody's race. It could still happen. I don't think Linnean signed up for next week, so
there's still a chance.
So yeah, we are going to go ahead then, and we are going to kick it on over to our topic.
Puckle Factory is back. Battle against your fellow Puckleonians with rental teams provided to you by us. Each week will have its own themes to explore. You get to pick which team best suits your wants, which one you think is the best. You have until October 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to sign up. Further information can be found on our Discord at pucklediscord.com. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is going to be graphics. Do they matter or not? Or how do they have they affected the experience?
Ooh, spooky theme, graphics. Especially when talking about Pokemon graphics. Spooky.
I mean, okay, so like, I will be honest, and I have never really been like a big graphics person. Like I do not care until like very recently. But I think that's more like performance issues. I've like Scarlet and Violet. It has performance issues, and I think kill the graphics in a lot of ways that way, or at least a lot of the visual presentation. But I also think that I also think that we have a lot of issues with if you look in the past, like, Pokemon's actually been very good about their graphics on their handhelds, I think. Like, if you look at, I mean, well, so like Red and Blue, you know, very simple games. I'm not going to fault that, but I would even say like the improvement from like Gen 1 to Gen 2 is very significant. And I would even say Gen 2 to Gen 3 was even better, because it took full advantage of the Game Boy Advance. I'm honestly just more upset that we didn't get more Game Boy Advance games, in all honesty. Like,
it was a good console.
Game Boy Advance is a solid console. I'm actually like very, I had like an existential crisis in Japan because I like modding those consoles because I like playing Pokemon, but I'm like, Pokemon Bank might get shut down, or it's going to get shut down at some point, right? And so I'm not going to be able to transfer the Pokemon, blah, blah, blah. I'm hoping we get to some solution for that, but I don't know. We'll see.
To me, graphics are not like a deal breaker when it comes to, you know.
No, they usually aren't. They usually aren't. I actually did see, because this was mostly sparked by you, Whimsicott, where you said you were replaying Gen 8, and the game was actually very, like, pretty in terms of graphics, and probably more so than Scarlet and Violet, and I mostly agree with you. Like, outside of Pokemon models, I think I agree with you.
See, the thing is, it looks better, and I think it's not that the graphics are better, because they're not. It's that the choices
the artistic choice
they made...
Yeah, like what?
It's an artistic choice. It's like, okay, so in Scarlet and Violet, like, you have the Pokemon immersed in their environment, and you have the Pokemon be slightly more realistic, and the environment itself is a lot less cartoonish.
Yes.
Than the one in Gen 8. But I think it's like, okay, I see what you're going for there, but you didn't do it well enough that it's worth it. Whereas if I look at a bat in Generation 8, the Pokemon is, first of all, it's much closer to the camera, or it's highlighted by the lighting in a way that makes it pop a lot more.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, I know that it's a billion times cooler for the battle to happen, like, inside the environment without a switch to a battle screen, but it doesn't look as good, at least in my opinion, because
I actually this is something I thought about recently, and I kind of agree with you. The number one, I still think to this day, like, my number one, like, battle art or like graphics wise is still BDSP.
Okay, those are great, but it's mostly about the backgrounds.
No, the backgrounds are fantastic. I think the backgrounds are fantastic in BDSP. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. No, it's like, we interrupted each other. I think the thing with Scarlet and Violet is that, okay, it's a choice to make it more realistic, to make it less saturated, less, you know, bright and crazy cartoon-like. And it's obviously, like, a good choice for the kind of game you're trying to make, which is open world, which has the Pokemon interact with the environment. And it's way more immersive because, like, there are still times, like, we've been playing Scarlet and Violet for about a year at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, like, will be walking around in the game and I will like stop and look at a Pokemon eating a berry under a tree. And I will be like, that is brilliant. Like, I love that.
I do agree. I agree with that. I think, I don't know. I guess I mentioned this more before the show than during the show. But so a lot of my issues with Gen 8 are that it's very, I guess I talked about it at the intro, but a lot of my issues with Gen 8 is that there's a lot of growing pains that are very prevalent. And Scarlet and Violet is the same. Like, there's a lot of growing pains. Like, that explains the performance. They're not used to making a game that works on this level. Two, I think this is the first game where they're just, like, really, like, hey, these Pokemon are interacting with their environments. Because if you look at even PLA, which is, like, kind of sort of the predecessor for Scarlet and Violet, like, the Pokemon weren't really interacting with their environments. They're just walking around. They're just kind of there. I think personally, I'm just very tired of just like always making growing pains in Pokemon at this point.
Mm.
I just want them to make a game with skills that they're very confident that they have.
I think their problem is that the basic formula of Pokemon is always the same. And graphics and performance-wise, they're always playing catch-up with the rest of the market.
I absolutely agree with you, yeah.
And I don't see how they get out of the cycle of having to innovate on things that are not the main purpose of the game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if people are playing Pokemon now, like almost 30 years on, it's because they like that basic formula.
No, the basic formula of Pokemon has been very simple. In terms of like you catch the Pokemon, you battle the Pokemon. And there's been very, like, we got new Pokeballs. Like, I think that's the extent, right? And new moves, stuff like that. But yeah, the basic formula, the basic gameplay pattern has very much not changed since 1996. Which, on it, it's like they hit gold with that. Like, it's very hard to be struck by lightning twice.
It is, though, a very Nintendo theme to have similar, because a lot of Zelda was recently the same, a lot of Mario, until they made that 3D jump. So it is kind of like a formula first, then everything else later when it comes to Nintendo. And I think that's the problem. Many people were talking about when this 3D jump happened, right? When Mario became 3D and we got into Mario 64, when Sonic went 3D and it went Sonic Adventures, and these were successful titles. Then Mega Man tried to do that and it failed, and it's on its face. So Pokemon has had the issue of, like, it has remained with that steady method of making. It's just that transition into something else has been so granular that it's just been taking forever. And it's now Generation 9, and we see now kind of like their version of this is the 3D, as in, we know that they've been 3D for a while, but this is like the actual 3D jump. Like, the Mario 64 of Pokemon is technically not Sword and Shield. It's Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically the 3D jump for Pokemon was X and Y, but...
No, that's for the graphicals, yes, and I guess that's the topic, yes. But I mean, like, in general, the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think what he's saying is this is the time we've actually gone off the rails.
Yeah, to some extent, I think. So I kind of see the development of, like, popular video games in it, kind of like how TV resolution has gone, right? Like, we used to have the analog TV resolution, which is kind of your 2D games, and then we got HD TV. And that's when we got to 3D video games like Mario 64, stuff like that. And then, you know, you go from, there's been a shift recently from just 3D games to open world games. I'm going to put open worlds in big quotes, but open world games, like you're looking at your Breath of the Wild, your Tears of the Kingdom. You're looking at, you know, Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, stuff like that. Sandbox open world games that people really enjoy. And that's been something that people have been moving to, you know, very slowly over the years. And it's like 4K, because I think the difference in terms of, you know, quality is the same as if you went from like a 1080p to, you know, a 4K television. Yeah, it's nice, but you might not notice it. and it's a much more
it's a much more fine change than a than something like big and in your face. And I do think Scarlet and Violet did a very good job in terms of that. I just still don't. I think their graphics in terms of that were very awkward. Very awkward. I just don't think Game Freak has been very prepared to going full 3D. And I would honestly argue this has been that way for a while, like even with X and Y and Sun and Moon. I mean, we've always had performance issues. Part of this is I just don't think they have time to like debrief after a game release because of the pace they're going at. You know, like, hey, what worked? What didn't work? I think they're just trying. They have some idea and they're trying to go along that trajectory. I think that's part of it. And they do pivot pretty quickly sometimes. I mean, if you remember some of the interviews from Sword and Shield, actually, a lot of the pivots there happened very quickly, especially like the overworld Pokemon. There weren't going to be overworld Pokemon outside of the wild area in Sword and Shield until Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee did so well in terms of like people enjoying that aspect. I don't think we'll see a Let's Go Pikachu or Eevee again. I hope not, at least. But if it came down between a Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee game and like another Legends game, I think I know which one I would pick, but I know which one. Yeah, right. I know which one I'm picking. Like there's no question about which one Thatch is picking here.
I think the problem here, though, is first of all, you look at the success of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee and you have to weigh that against that being the first Pokemon game on the Switch.
Yes. No. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, it's one of those things where you can see there's two types of like Pokemon sale patterns I've noticed over the years. I mean, you've either get the one that's just like an instant jump. It's just like instant and then it never gets sold again after release. And then you get the ones that are slow burn that get that spike and then there's a slow burn after that, which is like Scarlet and Violet and Sword and Shield and pretty much anything that's been mainline. But when they've tried to go off the beaten path and try to make another game outside of that, it's really made it difficult. Even Legends Arceus did that to some extent, but not as badly, in my opinion, based on the sales data. It actually sold okay. So I'm kind of hoping we do that again. I think Legends Arceus was just like a very good game in general, though.
Exactly. So the graphics are not great. But I think at some point
the graphics in Legends Arceus are pretty okay in my opinion. I mean, they performance wise it's pretty okay as well, but they don't have as much going on.
This is like I'm playing Scarlet and the textures on the rocks shift as I approach the rocks, and I'm like, this is the like flagship game of the most like successful media franchise of all time.
Yes. No, there was that interview not too long ago where they talked about, I mean, we talked about on the show ourselves about whether or not this was something that was, if this was something that was just too, going too fast, right? Because they said, oh, hey, we want to know what we can do to increase the quality at the same time as keeping up our pace. So they're aware this is an issue.
Saying they're not aware. I think graphics are just not their thing. They have never been their thing. And the problem at this point, I think, might part they're trying to make everyone happy and they simply cannot do that. And so they like disperse their focus on both the story and the Pokemon and the graphics. And they you can see that they come up with so many ideas each generation, and they are never as focused as they should be, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with you. I think there was there wasn't as far to fall in 2D Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like you could, there wasn't as far to fall. Like you could have, like let's say we had bad graphics in a Pokemon game in Gen 5, which I honestly don't think we did. But like, oh man, those trees don't look that real. Or something like that, or they look wrong. I mean, that's all we're going to see. We're not going to be like, oh man, those textures are shifting around. Like, it's very hard to do that in 2D.
Yeah, exactly.
And the jump to 3D definitely affected things. I think more so, and Nintendo in general felt this, especially. It's partially the cause of the failure of the Wii U, outside of its horrible marketing and name, is that the Wii U failed because Nintendo has admitted that they were not prepared to make the jump to HD, which is they attribute some of it to the fact that developing for HD was harder than they anticipated.
And see, that was kind of my initial starting point. Like, I look at the trainer and at the Pokemon in Generation 8, and I'm like, this is still like a 3D model that is conceptually a sprite.
Yes.
And in Scarlet and Violet, they are trying to move away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's a good idea yet for them, because they are not able to do that in a way that has enough bang for its buck, you know?
I kind of understand that. I think they're doing okay. Like, they're doing better trying to make it feel like a living world.
Which is what I love. But I think if they, like, I don't know. As you said, growing pains.
Yeah, my honest, like, what I really want is for them to see this and see this game, and instead of being like, oh man, how can we push it again next generation, right? For the next game, how can we push this even harder? What I really, really want to see is I want to see them just try to do Scarlet and Violet again. Like, different
exactly.
World. I really just want to see them try to do Scarlet and Violet one more time, where we're not trying to do anything innovative. We're just trying to make it look good and run well and do well, because there used to be this old, like, Lego animation on YouTube where somebody was making it was this was like back when first person shooters were the video game to play. I remember this because somebody was just like, oh, you're just gonna go play Halo again, like, how many times, or Call of Duty, like, how many times do you have to do that again before it's like old? And they go, well, you play Pokemon. And they just, and this guy just goes on this rant about how Pokemon is king of its mountain.
It's a very tiny mountain, but
he's like, how many Pikachus do you need to catch before you realize you played the same game before? I remember that line very distinctly.
But that's the point. Like, I love playing that game.
I want to catch a Pikachu again and again. Like, I think that's kind of the magic of Pokemon to some extent. I think they're doing fine, like, Pokemon designs and stuff like that. I would just love to see another game where we didn't try to do anything innovative graphics wise.
Yeah.
And we just, like, they get another shot at Scarlet and Violet, because I think if the next one will probably be fine, because the problem is, I think they're just learning as they're going, and they're just not putting enough focus into optimizing the product before it comes out because of the deadlines.
Yeah, I believe that once they get all the animations of the Pokemon and all the designs sets, like, they can create a living dex, if you may, of these digital monsters, they can concentrate more on the scenario. What I want them to do is stop redesigning the Pokemon. Just give us, like, just design something that can be scaled up or down, and then just focus on the rest of the game. Because, like, this is the hill that I'm dying on. Their problem is that they have so many Pokemon that's where all the big work is going, that they barely, because of the release restrictions, that they want those games out as soon as possible, they put all their effort on every single Pokemon, which, by the way, it's almost 1,000 if we didn't even already cross it, and not enough time. Yeah,
no, we did cross 1,000. No, we're at 1,000, just over 1,010 now. No, it's over 1,010 now. Like, what's Diplin? What Diplin? Let's look at Diplin. Diplin will tell you. Diplin, it's 13. No, it's more than 13 actually, because it's with Poltergeist is 112. Sinistra is 113, or is 1013. Okidogie is 14. Monkey Dory is 15. Pheasantipity is 16. Ogre Pond is 17. That's where we're at. We're at 1017 right now.
Yeah. So Thingy Turtle is gonna be 18.
No, because there's other Pokemon in between that for sure. At least Archaladon.
Oh, that's right.
At least Archaladon.
We're going to probably get to, like, 1023 or something, right?
We'll get to, like, I think like 1020, 1021, something like that. I think they said there's something like another, I think there were like 8 Pokemon total in DLC, because you have to remember as well, we still have like Raging Bolt and Iron Crown. Plus the Entei and Terrakion equivalent, so that's another 4.
And also, there's something after that last, yeah.
Diplin, okay. Definitely evolves.
Like, Diplin evolves, exactly, which is what I was trying to get at. But see, okay, so I was actually having a very similar thought to you earlier today when I was thinking about this topic, and it's like, maybe the one silver lining of this entire mess with the Switch Pro being delayed and everything else.
Is that true? I don't even know if that's true.
No. I mean, you know, we've been having Switch Pro rumors forever.
I feel like they've just been that, though, rumors. Like, I do agree. I do believe that there's something now just because the Switch is 7 years old.
Exactly. So the Switch is 7 years old.
And I do think the next console will just be a Switch Pro, by the way. Like, I think the success of the fact that it's a handheld plus a console is honestly the only thing Nintendo has going for it. And if they axe that feature, they're done. I also think with the pace of release of games on Nintendo Switch Online, that would be very stupid of them to just not keep doing Switch.
Yeah, but that was my point. Okay, so the thing is, this is going to be most likely the first time we get three generations on the same console.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, just maybe, they will be able to finally polish a game for a system all the way.
I would love to see that. I don't have faith because, like, if we think about when Gen 10 is going to be, 2024 is probably going to be some sort of remake. I don't want to say which one because, like, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be Unova. I am not a huge Unova believer, in all honesty. I am a believer that there's probably going to be some sort of Gen 2 love coming out next year. One, because outside of all the references to Unova, we are also getting a ton of references to Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got Iron Crown and we got Iron Leaves and whatever Terrakion is. But if you look at the other half of that, we've got, you know, Walking Wake, Raging Bolt.
Yeah.
You've got the Legendary Beast and that are being, you know, kind of hyped up a little bit. And Kitakami itself is almost a direct relation to Johto, in my honest opinion. So I think there is a chance that we get, like, maybe we don't get, like, a Gen 2 remake, though I think a Gen 2 remake would not be untimely, especially next year, because next year is actually the 25th anniversary of Gen 2, as we discussed last week. But I do believe that there's a very good chance that Gen 2 remake / Gen 2 love is on its way, and it's long overdue, in my opinion. No, we haven't had, like, come on, we got, like, Let's Go Pikachu. Like, give me some Johto love, like a little bit. Like, we're even going to Unova, technically, in Blueberry Academy.
Yeah.
Come on. Give me just, like, a little bit of Johto love. We haven't seen Johto since 2010. We have seen Johto less recently than Black and White.
Fair. Yes.
Like, honestly, if they just, like, port HeartGold, SoulSilver, I'll call that a win.
Like, a Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl treatment for
HeartGold, SoulSilver. I honestly think they should as well, because, like, those are some of the most popular games in the franchise.
Well, if Ilka has, like, a conversion, let's call it algorithm, even if it's not that, in the bank, you know.
Okay, so they might very well.
Those games have the same engine.
Exactly. They could very well maybe just, like, copy and paste that in to some extent and do it. I think that would be very exciting if they did it. Additionally, I think, like, Let's Go Johto, or not Let's Go Johto, but, like, Legends Johto could have, like, imagine a story instead of, like, finding out, like, the origins of, like, Palkia and Dialga, right? But, if you think about all of the legendaries out there, the only legendaries that haven't been touched to, like, have another form of some sort are Lugia and Ho-Oh.
Yeah.
They could tell the story of, like, the Burned Tower.
Yeah, you can introduce three new Pokemon that are the original forms of the legendary beasts.
Yeah, you could do that. And then somehow also give us Panzap. And really just make me sad. But that's okay. I accept that Panzap will one day exist. But I think that would be an interesting route for them to go. I don't know. I that's something that I'm kind of interested in. I would love to see. Especially nowadays. And then, you know, I mean, maybe we could do Gen 5 and Gen 2, like, slow it down just a little bit. Maybe we don't need, like, Gen 10 right away.
No, they...
I think most of us as Pokemon fans, like, if they just kind of recycle... There's so much content for them to recycle at this point.
Yeah.
And that the Pokemon company itself could maintain its cash flow while just feeding me games that already exist.
Yeah, and you have to take into account now that with some Pokemon missing from the most recent games... Even just, like, the pleasure of seeing some old friends come back is a draw for a game.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, based on leaks for the next one, we're not missing too many things that aren't connected to home. We are missing... I don't like that we're missing any of them. I don't like that, like, home connectivity.
I want every Pokemon to be available on Switch so that it connects directly to home. That's at the end of the day, that's what Thatch wants. I think that is a very that is my desire before the Pokemon Bank servers get shut down, is that every Pokemon can go to a game on Switch and not live on home. And we're very, very close. Like, we're talking 10-ish Pokemon. Like, it's not even that many.
Which, like, honestly, that's irritating. Like, because if it was like 50,
yeah.
If it was like 50, I would say, okay, that's a fair number.
Yeah, that's what happened at the end of Sword and Shield. Like, at the end of Sword and Shield and BDSP, there were something like 60 Pokemon that just didn't have a home.
Was vaguely irritating, but still acceptable. But like a dozen?
Yeah, like a dozen.
A dozen is just like stupid.
It's insulting, I think. To be fair, the dozen that are there, like, it's like Patrat. Patrat, I think, is missing. The monkeys. Furfru, which is the one that's most concerning to me, which is odd to say that it's concerning to me.
If any at all, yeah.
Because I personally have very few feelings for Furfru.
It does have a unique mechanic.
Yeah, and I think there was one other on top of that, some other Gen 5 Mon that was missing on top of that. But it's very, very weird. Also, there's no way to really get like an Alolan Raticate outside of like trading for it on Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. But and I really don't have to play Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee for a little Alolan Raticate.
There's no way to get an Alolan Raichu.
I think that might come back in Indigo Disc. But I hold my breath a little bit, but I think 60% chance your Pikachu can evolve into a Alolan Raichu in Indigo Disc. Only because Alolan Exeggutor are there and everything else like that. Like, if Alolan Exeggutor is there, I better be able to evolve my Execute into a Alolan Exeggutor while I'm there.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And if that's the case, then I can evolve my Pikachu into a Alolan Raichu. And unfortunately, Cubone's not in that game, but, yeah. Similar idea, though. I really do believe that, every Pokemon should be available on Switch, which it looks like they're trying to make happen.
Well, I mean, since most of the ones you mentioned are from Unova, if do get a Unova game on the Switch that connects to home, problem solved.
No, quite literally, the only Pokemon we'd be missing then is Furfru, which is, that's the one that's most concerning to me. Like, I don't know how Furfru, how they just didn't do Furfru. You know what I mean? Like, just do it. Just do it. I don't like using Pokemon Go as the answer of like, oh, just catch one on Pokemon Go and send it to yourself. Send it to home.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
I don't like that solution. I would like it better. Like, maybe we can't catch Furfru in a game, but I can transfer Furfru to a game. That would be even better, right? I would accept that as an answer. I don't like the idea of any Pokemon being stuck in home. And that includes Furfru. I also think Meltan needs to evolve with Thunderstone. And rant.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, it's they definitely, like, Dexit definitely created awkward situations, which it looks like they're about to make right. But I would love for them to be like, yeah, Furfru's here for no reason. And I'd be like, I perfectly understand why it's here, and I'm okay with it being in this random game. Like, for some reason, Furfru's in Let's Go Johto. I don't know why, but it's there, you know?
I mean, there could be a tourist that has brought one over and gifts you one.
Exactly. Alolan Vulpix made it into Legends Arceus, okay?
Exactly.
Very much into that idea. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, this definitely steered away from graphics to some extent, as it tends to do.
When do we ever go on a tangent? That never happens.
Never happens. I'm mostly just waiting for something cool to happen in the news.
Yeah.
We're circling waiting for that. But I would love to see something like that. The graphics, I think, I'm hoping they get better. Like, I'm hoping you're right and they do, they just give us another Switch game. Honestly, I think Switch Pro isn't going to be like that much worse for them to develop for than Switch. So I'm just kind of hoping the next game is good in that regard. let's see though. We'll see. I don't know if you have any other final thoughts, but those are mine. We'll see if the next one's good. Looks pretty.
I mean, no, I'm at this point, I'm just waiting for someone to come back into DLC.
Understood. Well, we know that one. When's the cats coming back? We know this.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, we're going to wrap up here, guys. And we're going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode is National Dex number 1015, Monkey Dory, the retainer Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Violet Pokedex entry states, Monkey Dory keeps itself somewhere safe while it toys with its foes, using psychokinesis to induce intense dizziness.
Monkey Dory is probably the best one of the three of the loyal three.
Which is not saying a lot.
But yeah. Well, it's actually it's actually pretty decent to know you. It's actually Poison Psychic is a weird type, but we share that with a Galarian Slowbro and a Galarian Slowking. Which is very interesting and very exciting. But Monkey Dory itself is just, it's very good, actually. Like, base speed of 106, base special attack of 130, with that typing, that dual typing is actually very, very good. Because it only has three weaknesses. That means it's only weak to ground, ghost, and dark.
Yeah.
Which, it's very, honestly, those are three types to be weak against. because, like, there's probably only, like, one ghost move on your opponent's team, maybe one dark move on your opponent's team. Ground, you know, Earthquake's still around. But it's not nearly as bad as it was back in the day. So, and I mean, it's got four resistances too, and they're like not bad resistances to have. One of them's fairy, obviously, but
yeah, which is good.
Yeah, not to mention its ability, Toxic Chain.
Ooh, where, that's so annoying. Yeah.
Where if you just hit it, there's like a 30% chance they become toxic poisoned. Like you could hit a psychic and have a 30% of toxic poison. Which is insane. That is an insane thought to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Monkey Dory. I wish their designs were a little better. Like, I saw their art I wasn't sold on them. I am going to admit though, like, once I saw the 3D models, I thought they looked better.
No, I still hate them.
I thought they looked better with the 3D models.
But they completely made up for it with Ogerpon being adorable. I love my daughter.
Ogerpon is very good.
Yeah, she's just the cutest.
Ogerpon is very good. But yes, so Monkey Dory, very good, honestly. Psychic Poison, both very good stabs to have, especially with Fairy nowadays. And it also gets Parting Shot, which is very odd. I don't think you'll ever use it on this, but it does get Parting Shot, which not a lot of Pokemon get. It gets Sludge Wave. It's getting all the things to really be able to utilize its typing.
Yeah.
It's just a deep move pool. But we do have a team today. It is still OU, and it's still kind of tearing it up. I did have the team pulled up, and then I lost it. But I'm going to go ahead and pull it up again on my cell. There we go. So this team has a Monkey Dory on it. The Monkey Dory is holding Heavy Duty Boots. The ability is Toxic Chain with the Fighting Terra type so that you can resist some of the most common things that are coming into you. Additionally, you do get access to Focus Blast, so you can get Stab Focus Blast. But this is 252 special attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed. You're running a Timid Nature because you're going to go fast.
Fast.
You've got your Future Sight. You got Future Sight so you can kind of threaten some Pokemon out for some switches. Focus Blast, because it's just a good fighting type move, and it combos pretty well with your Terra typing. Psychic, so that you can just do good stab damage, and then U-turn, so that you can get out of there. It's paired with another very good Pokemon that you could U-turn into as well. It is Dragapult holding a Choice Band, so we're just going to go physical, and we're going to go hard all the time. It has the Infiltrator ability, so you can go through your opponent's substitutes. And we are at 252 attack, 252 speed. We're just Dragapult. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
We're running Dragon Darts for a multi-hit move. We can also run Phantom Force, again, to force switches. You also have access to Terra Blast so that you can have access to a fighting-type move. And you have, once again, U-turn. So it's a great time. But our next guys are just there to, this is like hyper offensive. This team is very hyper offensive. But continue, Whimsicott.
It's also quite OU the team, because our next guy,
it kind of is,
our next guy is Great Tusk, holding the leftovers. The ability is obviously Protosynthesis. The Terra type is Fairy, which is interesting. It has an impish nature.
That's a great question. I don't know why they would do Fairy, but continue. Yeah.
Yeah. It has an impish nature, and it's running Earthquake, Ice Spinner, Rapid Spin, and Stealth Rock, which is a fairly standard set, I think. For
to be fair, you're never tearing the... If you're tearing the Great Tusk, no, something has gone horribly wrong.
You have a problem. Yes.
Something has gone horribly wrong. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then another like staple of the meta is Goldengo. It's holding a covert cloak because you know how its ability, Good as Gold, doesn't let you status it directly? Well, you can't status it indirectly now either. Like, you are not messing with this guy in any possible way.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I suppose, like, you can survive a mystical fire and fire back a special attack without having your stat lowered or something like that.
Yeah.
The Terra type is flying, which is more typical because you want to avoid those ground type moves. It has a modest nature, and it's running, you know, Nasty Plot, Make It Rain, Shadow Ball, and Recover. Pretty standard.
Though, yeah, it's pretty standard. Goldengo. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jushiro? What do you got for us to finish off this team?
Well, we got Samurott Hisui version. Now, it does specify it needs to be female. Is there a particular reason for this?
No.
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 Okay. He just wanted to make a point that his Samurott Hisui was female. Okay. It has a salt vest with the ability sharpness. And, of course, the Terra type poison. It's EVs, 252 HP, 56 attack, 100 special defense, and 100 speed. It's pretty spread out. With the careful nurture, and, of course, ceaseless edge, razor shell, a sacred sword, and aqua jet at its attacks. All right, I assume this is also a very direct offensive Samurott.
Yes, everything on this team is offensive that isn't named Grave Tusk, it looks like. Yeah. Yes.
Well, let's follow and finish up that offensive strike with some Zapdos in line with some heavy duty boots and the ability Static. It's Terra type Steel. With an EV spread of 248 special attack, 8 special defense, and 252 speed, we're going to go with Hurricane Substitute, Volt Switch, and Roosts for its attacks.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, Zapdos can be a bulky poke. Nope, not this time.
Not this time. This is just being a Zapdos. Like,
yeah.
This one's just big as Zapdos. Like, the only thing it's not running is, it is running Substitute, which I think is a little bulky for some reason. I would probably on this team probably play with the Zapdos spread and set a little bit more, but yeah, just because this one seems a little against what you're trying to do as a team, but
yeah,
I'm also not as well versed on the meta as I used to be, so take what Thatch says in it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But yes. All right, if you want to try this team, it'll be over on the Discord server. So until then, though, guys, we are gonna kick it on over to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails! Mail!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we will read it on the show, probably. We typically have a prompt. Last week we asked you guys if you thought Charizard was overdone. That's like one of the most straightforward questions I think we've ever asked. Like, do you hate this? And so we do have a few emails to read today about that. We are going to go ahead and get to those here in a second. But as always, this segment of the show is brought to you by the energy drink, or the fictional energy drink, a Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Spooky hooves.
And as always, we will give out a Green Tauros badge to anybody who we deem worthy. So without further ado, our first email this week about this this Charizard conundrum is going to be from TrueCrow48, and Jushiro has this one.
Yeah, it says, "Hello, Puckled Crew. Seeing as how the mascot topic turned into a Charizard topic, I'm going to approach my comment from that angle. First, in terms of Charizard being popular, I think it began because of all the starters. It and Pikachu are the only ones to get mascot-worthy story arcs. Pikachu goes without saying since it's, you know, it got a 26-year story, but Charizard also got a fairly lengthy arc. You start out as an unwanted Pokemon, evolves into its final form, and then becomes rebellious. Ash then spends the rest of the first two seasons trying to earn Charizard's respect, finally doing so, and then having it become a powerhouse. Squirtle and Bulbasaur? They each got a single episode about how great they were by not evolving.
I disagree with that, but based on the Pokemon anime, that is incorrect. Bulbasaur got a number of episodes.
Yeah.
But I digress. Continue. Yeah. Sure.
Growing up, the playground bragging rights of having a Charizard in red, blue, and yellow was great. After Gen 1, its continued love, I believe, is a mix of nostalgic love for Charizard from both fans and Game Freak, each feeding the other in a continual cycle. On a personal level...
Wow, I agree with a ton of this. Like, the reason I chose Charmander as my starter in red is that I remembered it, like, crying on that rock in the rain.
Oh my gosh.
I need to adopt this. Yes.
Yeah.
The anime was such a powerful marketing tool.
It was. Yeah. It really was. On a personal level, when I got my blue versions all those years ago, I knew nothing about the starters, so I chose Charmander simply because he looked coolest. Now, here's where my love of Charizard was cemented. 8-year-old me managed to miss the catching tutorial, and since Professor Oak gave me my starter, I thought every other Pokemon would be given to me throughout the game. So, a little too cruel 48 was struggling against Misty because I only had a Charizard. It wasn't until losing to Lieutenant Search.
And please note that he had a Charizard at Misty's gym.
It wasn't until losing to Lieutenant Search that a friend finally saw what I was doing and explained Pokeballs to me. Take care, too cruel 48.
All right. Well, thank you for that one, too cruel 48. Our next email is going to be from Guardian, and yes, you do.
Evening, Puckle. Been listening for about a year, first-time caller.
Welcome. Call again.
Hope you're all well, and hope this isn't too wordy. Don't worry, you're talking to the wordy queen herself. You asked for an opinion from someone kinda old that didn't start with Gen 1. That probably includes me. I started with Gen 4, and I was 24 at the time. Ooh, this is new. This is very new. I like that.
This one's interesting. I read this one already. It's very good.
Yeah, also this guy's about my age. obviously knew a lot of the Gen 1 stuff. You are younger than I am, Jushiro.
Not by much.
Yeah, still by a bit. Obviously knew a lot of the Gen 1 stuff from how popular it was at the time, and from seeing the first movie with friends. But I hadn't played a game with a Pokemon in it outside of Smash. Ran fighting game tourneys all the time, and my friends convinced me to grab Diamond when it came out. Had a blast playing through, trading and battling with friends, so much that we added Battle Revolution tourneys to our rotation alongside Melee, Third Strike, and Mario Kart.
Pokemon Battle Revolution was great. I miss being able to just, like, slap it on one simulator together and just, like, share that on the screen. Granted, the Switch is pretty good at it.
Mm. To tie that in, you'd mentioned we need an opinion about Pokemon design from someone who didn't start with Gen 1 or 2. Well, here is mine. I thought back then, and still kind of do think, that Gen 1's design felt old and outdated compared to Gen 4's. My association of Intimidate immediately goes to Shinx and Staraptor. I still think Lucario is kind of cool. My favorite legendary is still Manaphy. None of my favorite Pokemon were in Gen 1. Togekiss, Manaphy, Weavile, Miss Magius, Gallade, Leafeon, Toxicroak. The list goes on of Gen 4 favorites that I thought were all way cooler than anything in Gen 1. And most of my other favorites were Gen 2 and 3. Absol, Umbreon, Gardevoir, and Breloom being some of my all-time favorites now. I used Starmie, Slowbro, and Jolteon, but I didn't really care for them to Shiro, cover your ears. And honestly, didn't enjoy any of the Gen 1 starters like I did the Gen 4 ones, Charizard included.
We know who's not getting the Green Taurus badge.
Not from you, maybe.
I think he gets the Green Taurus badge for insulting you. It's okay.
Wait, let's see if he dunks on Whimsicott as well. I know it's mostly first Pokemon bias, but well, here we are. So to bring that to an answer, yes. I think Charizard is overused and overrated and definitely feels like a carrot to dangle in front of both Gen 1 parents and their kids.
I agree with that statement. I think the only problem is that it's an effective carrot.
And it also doesn't matter, because I'm the father of an 8-year-old girl who loves Eevee more than anything, but whose favorite starter is Sprigatito by a mile, and who is just who just excitedly started Pokemon Rumble with me earlier tonight. My wife's first Pokemon, yes. My wife's first Pokemon was Scarlet, and her favorites are easily Squirtle and Fuecoco. And I'm gonna be 42 on Halloween.
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday for tomorrow then. And the goofy grin I had on my face when I saw I could start my journey to the Elite Four with a Shinx, like I did nearly 2 decades ago, is probably the same as other people got a few years ago when they saw Charizard standing next to Leon. Wow. And I'm glad they get that, even if it's far more often than I get Absol and Manaphy these days. And we'll get way more than I'll ever see in new faves Tinkerton and Bellybolt after Generation 9. To sum it up, the franchise has given me so many great memories with friends and family, old and new. It's different things to different people. I've gotten what I wanted out of it and continue to do so, no matter which critters they put front and center. Thank you for starting my work week off with your podcast since last December. It's been a joy. Peace, Guardian.
Ah, well, that's so nice. Well, this is Green Taurus badge. Green Taurus badge material for this Jushiro dunk and all the other good feels.
Yes.
Fine.
All right, our last email this week is going to be from Captain Smitty. What do you get when you cross a hockey player in a jar of vinegar? A puckle. Spelled like pickle, but with a U.
Oh, that wasn't that funny, but it's just...
It's so stupid that it just becomes funny.
Yeah, I love that jokes.
What up, puckle peeps? I get where Thatch is coming from with his disdain of Charizard. That big orange dragon is being shoved in front of us on almost a daily basis. But I'll admit, I still love Charizard. He's just cool, and on a he's just cool. And on a personal note, the evolution of my favorite Pokemon friend, my first Pokemon card, and my first Pokemon starter back in Blue version Charmander. But therein lies the problem. Charizard is cool, and the Pokemon company knows it. Charizard is like Marvel movies or fast food. It's flashy, usually a safe pick, but there's almost always a better, higher quality option. I'm not upset that Charizard's always shown. I'm upset that if they're going to show Charizard, I want the record to be straight. I'm really okay with Gen 1 pandering. I hate when they're being selective with their Gen 1 pandering. If they were to also include Blastoise and Venusaur in their Gen 1 pandering, Thatch would have zero problems with this. I'd have zero problems. I hate that Bulbasaur and Squirtle are always like afterthoughts whenever they do this. That's what I just like at least put them off to the side, like, oh yeah, Squirtle and Venusaur are here too, or like, you know, Blastoise and Venusaur are here too, so that's pretty cool, right? Because not everybody started with Charmander.
Yeah,
my boy was always Squirtle.
We are a Blastoise household, okay? Oh my gosh, as the Aussie Crocodile would say, we are a Blastoise household. All right, but here we go. Sorry. Cool fire dragons, much like superheroes and hamburgers, are a quick and easy sell, and the Pokemon company likes money. So we're probably going to continue to be overly saturated in Zard. I definitely think plenty of other Pokemon would make great mascots. I loved the point about Koridon and Maridon being so integral to the story of Scarlet and Violet, and how they could be great mascots because of just how much time we got to spend with them. Unpowered Maridon looks like an awesome, giant, robotic puppy lizard, but we only get him in the first few scenes during the game. And while the current gen's legendaries always get some time to shine, they inevitably get sidelined by the Zard. Now, like I said, I do like Charizard. I love my ACP deck. ACP is Arceus Charizard Pidgeot, by the way. With my full art and art rare Charizards I've pulled, and Scarfed Ancient Power Zard was one of my favorite tricks to pull in Gen 8 VGC. Even went undefeated with it in the PFTT Swiss, only to be immediately lose in top cut. But yeah. They still need to deal with the Charizard. Or chill with the Charizard.
Oh, no, don't give him any idea. Next Charizard, chill Charizard.
Oh my gosh, Ice-type Charizard incoming. P.S. I've been loving the bonus episodes and hearing about Thatch and Whimsicott's D&D adventures. This was a Patreon episode. As an avid RPG-er myself, I can relate to the overeager, dominative character fatally striking an old woman. Though in my case, it was my Jedi Ewok shooting a Sith Witch with an energy bow, which actually worked out pretty well. This has nothing to do with Charizard.
Oh my god.
That is a sentence and a half right there.
I want to do an Ewok warrior.
Ewok Jedi? A Jedi Ewok?
Oh my god, that would be... No, an Ewok Sith. That's what... A killer bear.
If you ever want to explore the wonder and beauty of the Star Wars narrative dice system, I will gladly run a workshop for you Puckle people.
Wow.
PSS, something, something, asking for work. We can talk. He asked for payment in Puckle playmats. Yeah, I don't know if I have enough, any of those left, but I digress. I digress. So that is going to be it for this week. I still think Guardian gets it.
Yep.
Yes,
he did great.
I agree.
Yeah, Guardian, you get it. You get it. It's all yours. We will give you that green Taurus badge if you ask for it on the Discord server. But next week, if you guys want to tell us how you feel about Pokemon graphics, please let us know. It PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Of course, throughout the week, if you want to keep up with us, you can go to PuckleDiscord.com and hang out with us on Discord. You can also go over to, you can go over to our Twitter, Facebook, our Instagram, or X. What is it? Is that what Twitter is now? It's X.
It's called Twitter.
It's still Twitter.
It's called Twitter.
It's still Twitter for now. I think we also still have Threads because I haven't gotten a Blue Sky invitation. So somebody sent me a Blue Sky invitation. And then, of course, you can go over to our YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast or our Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I am going to attempt to do something this week, but make no promises. I would love to do something. Maybe next Sunday would be a great time because I just want to catch up with people. I have so many cool things. I want to show them what I bought. I did end up getting my my copy of the original Pokemon Stadium.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not sure that it works because the guy, when I bought it from him, was not very good at English. And he said something about like broken copy or something like that, but I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it was just like, I bought it because I'm never going to put it into an N64. I just wanted to own the cartridge.
Collector's item.
Yeah, I bought it for like $3. It's fine.
Yeah.
I do want to show off some of the cool goodies I got though while we were in Japan. I did, if you want to help support the show, a couple ways you can do it. One, you can go over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast where you can get a bunch of cool extra bonus episodes. Like the one that Captain Smitty was talking about, where Whimsicott and I talked. That one came out earlier this week. And then you can also, this week, there's going to be a little thing at the end again for, this turned out to be like a 2-hour episode of like Patreon Hangout where we sat and just talked for a while. Mostly they just let me talk and they don't tell me to shut up, which is both good and bad. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good listen. So, the first 5 minutes will be after this. And if you're interested in it, please go over there and, jump in at the $5 tier. Additionally, if you buy cardboard like I do on a very significant basis, you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout for a discount, and we get a small kickback as well. So on that note, though, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I've been Jashiro.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.